Brett, I appreciate you coming on with us again. You came on Friday, and I said, maybe put a pen in this story. This could become a big issue, and I'm on vacation now, and Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern, you pop this story on your Facebook page. What has the last, 22 hours or so been like for you?
It's been pretty crazy. I mentioned actually that I've been on SportsCenter more in the past day than I have my previous 5 years at ESPN. I did the Today Show, the CNN. I promise I will not say boobs because I know what happened with that. But no, it's been unreal. You know, obviously, you know, as a reporter, I'm not doing this to, for the attention. And certainly, when I first started pursuing this story, I never would have envisioned it would have led to this. But Clay, I think quite simply, had Urban Meyer Tuesday at Big Ten Media Days not said who would create a story like this and say that he had no knowledge of these incidents, if he just would have said anything differently, where we were aware of these things, convicted, I take full responsibility for keeping him on staff, we obviously need to take domestic violence more serious, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he would still be the coach. But now I don't see any way that Ohio State can keep him. Because if you're going to keep Urban Meyer, you have to know 1,000% that there is nothing that shows he knew about it. And that means you've got to uncover every text message in the last 5 or 6 years between anyone on his staff, between Zach Smith, between Urban Meyer, et cetera. Because if you come out and say, we've investigated and Urban Meyer had no knowledge, like he said he did, he remains our football coach, and then all of a sudden something pops up where here's information that he did know about it, then Ohio State has major egg on their face. And I think also with the sensitivity of domestic violence heightened as it should be and as it is now, I don't see any scenario where they can keep him. Do you?
I don't. I wrote that yesterday. I can kind of see an argument if they could wall him off and deny that he has any knowledge at all. But you've covered Urban and college football for a while, as have I, and he has said time and time again, Shelly Meyer is my most important confidant. This is his wife, obviously. She is the person. She's like a co-head coach. We talk about everything. I use her as a sounding board. He even said it last week. I think for anybody who's married, it's unbelievable to almost anyone out there that she would keep this knowledge, you know, again, because they were involved both, they've acknowledged, in 2009, that she would keep this knowledge from him while everybody else in the program is talking about it is not, it's just impossible to believe for me. Urban, in that relationship, I would imagine the same thing, and you're a married guy, like the same thing is also kind of in your mind. It's almost impossible to believe that he would also be willing to just throw her to the wolves and say, she didn't tell me, she kept this all a secret, she saw these pictures, she never reacted, she never told me. Like, that's a difficult thing in any marriage, to throw your wife out there to accept all the blame, when I think just about everybody who's listening to us would say, no, I don't believe that.
You're right, Clay. And also, kind of an offshoot of this, keep in mind, Shelly is actually employed by Ohio State in the College of Nursing. And so, technically, she's also bound by Title IX and also by the school's sexual misconduct policy. So obviously she knew about this information. Courtney Smith told me that. I saw dozens of text messages. So she violated that right there. So at Ohio State, what a PR hit, Ohio State fires Shelly Meyer because she violated from the nursing department because she violated Title IX that keeps her husband. I don't see how it happened. You mentioned it, Urban Meyer, Tuesday at Big Ten Media Days. I was standing there when he talked about what Shelly means to him. He went on and on and on. He relies on her. She has a great heart. Again, Courtney Smith said that Shelly was very supportive through this entire thing, always wanting to help her out. And you're right. Urban also shared that in 2009, when Zach was arrested for aggravated battery of a pregnant female, that when they were going through this process, Zach and Courtney, that Urban offered this up. Urban and Shelly counseled the young couple. Zach was 25. Courtney was 24. So you're going to tell me that this is a couple that they're close with, Bruce Earl's grandson, in 2009 this happens, and then 2014-15, his wife knows all this domestic violence issues, and all of a sudden they're going to ignore the couple. They're not going to talk to them. They're not going to help them out. And Urban Meyer's not going to know about that. I agree with you. I don't see any scenario where Urban Meyer did not have knowledge of this.
As you are reporting on this case, and you see all of these text messages and all of this evidence, how much time from the, like, so how do you, I think there are a lot of people out there who are kind of interested in the procedure of how you write a story this big. How much time do you spend vetting these text messages? How does this story come to be? Kind of take me into what happens before 10 a.m. Eastern when you pop this story on your Facebook page, and then we'll get into why it was on your Facebook page as opposed to elsewhere. But how much time do you spend? When do you start to see these text messages? How does that process play out?
Well, I first started reporting this about 3 weeks ago when I received a tip that Zach Smith had some domestic violence issues in his past and also currently. And I did a public records request search and called the Gainesville Police Department, and voila, he was arrested in 2009 and it had never been reported. He was a grad assistant back then, so I'm sure it probably wasn't on the radar of the Florida beat writers back then. In the same process, I did a public records request with the Powell, Ohio Police Department, and voila, he was served with a domestic violence civil order 2 days before the, or 3 days before Big Ten Media Day started. So then I reported that on Monday. And then after that, I just started, seeing what else I could find out. And then Tuesday, when Urban said he didn't know anything about it, it just didn't seem right, the timeline. And I even asked Urban, I said, if you knew about 2009 and what I reported about 2015 was, you're basically saying I made up out of thin air, then why do you fire the guy an hour after I report the 2015 incident? And he said, well, that ship has sailed. I'll talk about this year's team and nothing else. And so at that point, I started reporting. I was able to track down Courtney Smith. She agreed to talk to me. I spent 3 days in Columbus, and I told her, I said, I don't believe what you tell me until you give me a reason not to, but I need hard evidence. I need documents. I need text messages. I need photos. I go, this is not going to be a he said, she said article. And I basically wanted to tell her story and what she had been going through this entire time. One of the reasons she decided to talk to me, she said, is because when she left Zach in June of 2015, they were officially divorced September 1, 2016, is that she thought when she did leave him that the abuse would stop, the harassment would stop. It did not. I mean, I put one of the texts from Zach up. I saw hundreds of these. And so basically, I spent 3 days with her. People ask me, well, how do you know she didn't create these text messages? Believe me, I saw I saw hundreds of text messages from her and other people that she had either copies of or directly on her phone, screenshots or whatever, and just mounds and mounds of evidence. For her to create all of this would literally have taken years to do, and then seeing the photos of the abuse, seeing the police reports and all that. Again, I wanted documentation. Now, did I verify with all the people that she texted that they actually texted her? No, I did not. But I had a copy of text messages. It's the same if you sent me a text message and I said, Clay Travis sent me this text message. With the way that the electronics are, it's pretty obvious that you sent it to me. Obviously, you can create fake text messages. But the amount of information, the amount of text messages and everything else, it was legit. And that's one of the things I'm most proud about, Clay, is my story that I reported yesterday. There are no unnamed sources. There is no anonymous information. It is all 100% sourced, either police reports, text messages, direct quotes. There's no, anonymous tips or information in there that can't be verified through either public documents or direct quotes by the individuals that I talked to.
We're talking to Brett McMurphy. You can follow him on Twitter. I believe it's @Brett_McMurphy. I just tweeted out his Twitter handle as well from my account, @ClayTravis. I've known you for years. You've broken a lot of big stories over the years, and a lot of people who read your report on Facebook are probably thinking, man, this seems like the kind of guy that maybe ESPN would want to be employing to write stories such as these. In fact, they are still paying you, but you were a part of the ESPN layoff. So I want to dive into that aspect of this story. Writing it yourself on the Facebook page, As you were working on this, did you in the back of your mind think, my God, ESPN is going to see this report. It's going to be the biggest story that's been broken, I think, frankly, in college football in several years, and I'm going to do it on my personal Facebook page because of the decisions they've made. You had to get a little bit of joy in knowing the reaction that people would have from the ESPN perspective.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I heard from a lot of people that I worked with at ESPN. They were all very, very supportive and very, they were all like, man, we miss you. We wish you were here. Obviously, those people had nothing to do with the decision for the layoffs. I mean, when I was laid off last April, I had 18 months left on my contract. And so basically, the non-compete of our contracts, if we worked for a third party, then ESPN was off the hook for paying us the rest of our contract. So as long as I did not work for a third party, I would continue to get paid by ESPN every 2 weeks like I was when I worked there. So I had two choices. One, I could sit on my couch and eat potato chips for 18 months, and then after 18 months, say, get off the couch and say, hey, I need to go find a job. Or I could pursue and continue to try to report college football. And then hopefully in the process, I would attract job offers from other companies based on what I was able to do. I was fortunate enough to break Scott Frost going to Nebraska, fortunate enough to break Joe Moorhead going to Mississippi State. Both instances, ESPN credited me on the bottom line, which was huge. Steve Levy, I don't know if you remember, actually during the UCF-Memphis game, said first reported by our own Brett McMurphy, which a lot of people got a kick out of. And so, yeah, so my thought was, you know what, people talk to me because of how they dealt with me in the past. They talk to me because of our relationships, and they can trust me, not because I worked for FanHouse, not because I worked for ESPN, not because I worked for CBS. And so basically my contract with ESPN expires on August 12th, and then August 13th I'll have a job somewhere else, which you can figure out where that is. I can't say it. And so basically I just I wanted to stay relevant. And you know what, Clay, which you probably, I think you were ahead of the curve on this, but I think I really realized this the past 18 months. You don't have to work at a huge media company to be relevant. I mean, as long as you have good information, as long as you have, good opinions or strong opinions on certain aspects, you know, you can do this on your own page or on Twitter or Facebook. And so basically I was limited. Under my contract, I couldn't report for a third party, but I could use my personal Twitter account or my personal Facebook page because there's no third party there. And so basically that's what I've been doing the past 18 months.
Well, you did a hell of a story. Why do you think it took ESPN 4 hours to cover this story? I got to give credit here. Colin Cowherd, your story breaks. He immediately opens with his show with the lead. Gottlieb does the same thing, you know, like live on FS1, live on their radio shows. Everybody at Fox, I think to their credit, recognizes, wow, this is a major story. We got to cover this. It takes ESPN nearly 4 hours. They get left behind. To their credit, I think they had you on SportsCenter last night. As you said, most of you have been on SportsCenter in 5 years. You also were on, I believe, Get Up this morning. So they're letting you come on and tell your story now. Why do you think it took them so long to get to covering this story?
Knowing how the sausage is made at ESPN, I know once a story like this breaks from somebody other than ESPN, they want to verify it. They want to confirm that it's accurate. They just automatically do not hit the retweet button. I'm very aware of that. I do know that, I guess I've heard that they had a college football seminar going on. I guess ESPN PR put out a statement about that, the awful announcing. I didn't see it, so if I'm incorrect, I apologize. But basically, the news reporters were not at that meeting. It was all TV talent. The analysts, the play-by-play guys, so that had no impact on them getting the story out. It may have delayed it somewhat. I also know I talked to one of the attorneys that was quoted in my story, and he called me literally 10 minutes after the story broke and said, I just got a call from ESPN, and they wanted to see if I could confirm the information. And he goes, I told them, well, you know, what Brett McMurphy reported is accurate, and they said, can you provide any more information? And he said, well, why don't you call Brett McMurphy? He could help you out. And they go, well, Brett McMurphy no longer works here. And he goes, oh, yeah, I think he's freelancing. And so they obviously started pursuing the story immediately. Why it took 4 hours, I don't know, because all they posted after 4 hours is exact. They just basically cut and paste my story. They rewrote my story. That's all they did. There was no independent reporting on there. So why did it take 4 hours? I don't have that answer, Clay. But I want you to know, I know you're a betting man. I cast on over 3.5 hours.
We're talking to Brett McMurphy. Now, this story, obviously, a lot of the focus is going to be on Urban Meyer because he is a superstar head coach, one of the greatest head coaches in the history of college football. Courtney Smith, however, is a young mom with two young kids who I believe live still in Columbus, Ohio, which is an Ohio State mad city and in the middle of an Ohio State mad state. Are you at all concerned about her safety, given the way this story has blown up? Have you talked to her since? And what, if anything, is she doing to make sure that she and her family are safe? Because, again, there are a lot of fans who may not behave rationally when they hear a story like this happens, and they blame her instead of blaming the people who are really the culprits here. But it's not uncommon for situations like this for the person who tells her story honestly to end up being in a really dangerous situation herself.
I've obviously talked to her a couple times yesterday. She is fearful of people retaliating against her. Obviously when she talked to me, that she had no intention of this occurring with Urban Meyer's job being in danger. That was not the purpose of her talking to me. It has never been. Anytime I talked to her, she never had the attitude of, oh, let's get Ohio State, let's get Urban Meyer. I don't think that's going to matter to Ohio State fans. I know she is, I don't know if fearful is the right word, but she is concerned about her safety and how people may react if they see her. I know she's wants to keep a low profile, but ultimately, you never know how people will react to these type of situations. Perfect case, Harvey Updike. So I don't want to sit here and paint a picture that Ohio State fans are gonna storm her house with pitchforks and fire, but she's obviously, she wants to be careful, and she's hopeful that that there's no incidents, obviously.
Brett, you have done an incredible job on this story. You came on with us Friday. I appreciate you coming on with us this morning as well. Like I said, I broke the vacation off to make sure we could talk to you. Keep up the good work, and congratulations on the new gig, which you'll be able to announce soon.
Thanks, Clay. Appreciate it.